This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000,
Chicago's home for sports.
A little feisty today, just a lot on our plate. 312-332-3776. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Meller is in for Waddle. Meller's always here. It sounds weird when I say, like, Meller is here for Waddle. Meller is always here. So is Abdallah. Sean's here as well. And if you want to talk to us, 312-332-3776.
Like, it sounds weird every time to say Meller's in for Waddle, Abdallah's sitting for Meller, Sean's in for
right.
Abdallah.
Yeah, that's it's just
we're all just here, man.
It's like a Joe Maddon lineup card. Yeah. Whatever. He's putting everyone
in just Chris
spots.
Bryan moved to left field today.
And, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. I have another Toyota Twitter poll up as well, too. And this is based on the 10-year look back at the decision, which I thought was a good show last night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, the backstory by Don Van Natta. That was you alerted me to it, Sylvie, last night. And I DVR'd it, jumped in, watched it last night. And you know what? Of all the things I've watched recently of the 30 for 30s, you know, not Last Dance related.
And it wasn't 30 for 30.
Yeah.
It's the new series called Backstory. It's like the behind the music story, you know?
Exactly. And that one really, I wasn't expecting it, but I was very interested. And as it brought up a lot of old feelings that I had from the decision 10 years ago.
Yeah. Do you know what his next, did you guys see what his next topic he's going to be doing for, because
it's
a new
series?
Oh, I did.
Series. Now I'm trying to remember. But it's not until, I think it's not until September, right?
Right.
I saw the trailer.
This is a good one. And one of the most memorable stories we've ever talked about on the radio.
I'm trying to remember now because I remember watching the trailer and immediately going, oh, yes. And then I saw it's not going to be out until like September. And I was like, oh, bummer.
Sean, Abdallah, have you guys seen what the next topic?
I have not. Let's see. One of the most things we've ever talked about in Chicago radio. On radio or in Chicago radio?
In radio, this is sort of a local story, more of a regional story. But as far as the craziness of this story.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
It's
I didn't see what it
charts.
Is.
It's one of the one of the craziers.
Yes,
is it recent?
Right. No.
My guess was going to, you said regional, so I was going to say, but not local. I was going to say Andrew Luck retiring abruptly.
This is crazier.
I remember.
An MTV television show also, I want to say, this story.
Jersey Shore.
No.
The catfishing phenomenon.
Oh, with Manti Te'o?
Correct.
This is Manti Te'o.
Oh,
the
man.
The fake girlfriend story is going to be tackled by Don Van Natta.
What a great national championship, too, because he thought that story was going to rally them and everything, and then they just got
crushed. Well, it was great because Bama just crushed them. That's
absolutely.
Why you're saying it was great.
Absolutely.
Most of our listeners probably have more pull for Notre Dame than Alabama.
We could talk more in depth about the decision, and also Windhorse wrote a story today looking back on that and some of the things like how LeBron didn't like Noah, on how Derek didn't want to recruit, and that didn't sit well with the big three, on how the Bulls were still really in it, but the Bulls brass didn't know which door to enter when they had their meeting with which is the funniest, most Bulls-like thing.
Shocking.
And so it got me thinking. And you know me, is like I was accused of. I do go back down memory lane on those bad things that's happened in Chicago sports and say, which would you like the redo on? So I gave you four. Meller doesn't like one of the four. I was thinking about putting other. We've had over 3,000 votes already in on this. Which Chicago sports redo would you want most? Is it the Bears picking Mahomes? Is it LeBron, Wade, and Bosh pick the Bulls in 2010? And remember that core. Like, they would have had to get rid of Deng, but they still would have had Noah and Rose. So if you think the big three was good in Miami, think about the big three plus Noah and Derrick Rose.
Well, and do you remember, because now I'm forgetting, but, like, what other key pieces on that? Because the Bulls, the bench mob
Well, the bench mob would not have been created.
That's what I was.
Like, Korver probably would not have been signed. Boozer would not have been signed.
Boozer was never on the bench mob.
No, well, at the end of games.
Hey, boy, yeah.
In the fourth quarter, he was.
But that defeated the purpose.
Mob.
But Taj was still on the roster, right?
Yeah, they drafted Taj.
I'm trying to, like, he would have made it through.
It was CJ Watson. It was Brewer coming off the bench. It was Korver.
But so I guess I'm thinking Taj. Taj would have still been on the roster, theoretically, because he was under rookie contract. That would have been, like, he was critical to that Bulls team. So if you add LeBron, Bosh, and Wade, and you've still got, like you said, Noah, and Taj coming off the bench. Like,
instead of Chalmers, you have Derrick Rose as the point guard with LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. And the guy in the middle is Joakim Noah, who doesn't need the basketball.
The way you lay that out, to me, in my mind, there's no way that team doesn't win at least three titles.
For sure. They won two.
They won two,
in
exactly.
Miami.
So that would, I cannot see the Mavs in, you know, that team beating that Bulls construction.
Now, I did give you all the options. Those are the two. And then third is Derrick Rose never gets hurt. And then fourth is, which Meller hates, Alou makes the game six catch. There's no Bartman incident.
I believe I said GTFO with the Alou catch.
Yeah, that's
option.
I don't know about that one. That's
because you won a title in 2016.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't. I as a Cubs fan, does it really sting that much anymore?
I don't. Not as much. No. And then there's no guarantee. Like you still win the game, and Alex Gonzalez still doesn't screw it up. And I don't know. And or you beat the.
You should have put the Cubs don't trade Eloy.
No, that could be down the road. You could get in other, but look, a lot of these, and what's losing the last place vote is LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
You know why?
The Bulls.
It's hatred. Obvious. It's obvious. It's a hater because you put two Bulls options, right? So if Derrick Rose never gets hurt, they probably win that first year, right?
Maybe.
I would say they win. Let's say they win.
Not that first year because they
not
lost
the year,
to them. In his MVP year. It was the next year. The next year. In the lockout shortened year.
I think they win that year.
I don't know.
And then you're not saying...
I'm not agreeing with that premise.
Well,
because
I'm
that's
saying
the
that
year,
premise.
That's
you're
the
assuming
year
that they're going to win seven titles with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
They may have.
But those are all LeBron haters. Those are all the ones that don't want to have to say, that will say, well, I never wanted LeBron because I'm a Jordan guy and I don't want LeBron in Chicago.
Isn't
BS.
That, though, Abdallah, the most guaranteed of the four? If you get LeBron, Wade, and Bosh with Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, there's no one competing with you in the East. You know, it's a guarantee that you're winning at least one or two championships, at least. If the Bears pick Mahomes... Is like as other
not
people.
Three, not four, not five, not six. That team is winning three titles minimum.
Of course.
Right,
the only
right.
question is if LeBron re-signs with the Bulls because he's on that team.
Now, if the Bears pick Mahomes, he's still on John Fox's team.
Minimum eight.
Does he develop like he does under Andy Reid? I would love to find out. But we know about the guarantee. If Derrick Rose never gets hurt, there's still no guaranteed, as we just debated, if they win in 11-12 or ever. And if Alou makes the catch, there's still no guarantee they don't blow it in the ninth or blow it in the World Series. Like, but yeah, the LeBron Wade Bosh is in last place because of the hatred.
Yeah, for me, the only two options are Bears selecting Mahomes or LBJ Wade Bosh picking
the
Bulls.
Yeah, for sure.
I love Derek. I wish he never got hurt. But if of the options of any type of redo, if I can historically go back and change it, those top two choices are clear cut above the others for me.
Who do we have?
Obviously, I'm a Sox fan, so I would keep Alou not making the catch the way.
Oh, yeah, you were happy with that. You were celebrating.
My favorite thing about this topic might be this: John and Schomburg. John, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, so, I mean, Alou's catch, yeah, that sucked, but the Cubs won a World Series later on, right? I feel like Derrick Rose getting hurt, we're up by 12. He shouldn't have even been in the game, period. And he shouldn't have even been in the game. It's Thibs' fault. I blame him. That's a side note. But we were robbed of possibly one of the top five greatest point guards of all time and possibly a title. Not saying we would have won it, but if I could go back, hearing Doug Collins' voice say, Rose is down, Derrick Rose is down, and holding his knee is still something I have a nightmare about.
Thank I was God. There. Yeah, you're right. I was there. I mean, that's another topic of what do you, which of these stories do you hate reliving the most? I mean, Derrick Rose is, in my opinion, right now, the third best player in Bulls history, even though his career was stopped short. After Michael and Scottie, we did that list from Grey Clips. I put him third. And he's right. I mean, some people still want him in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame worthy career. But he was, if he didn't get hurt, he definitely would have been a Hall of Fame player and one of the greats.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. And he, you know what? Like, I don't think it's likely, but it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yeah, he still might. It's unlikely, but if he continues to just be a solid, you know, bench player who can average 15 to 18 points a game, that might be asking a lot. But he still has an outside shot just because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. The youngest MVP in league history.
Yeah, that's of course. Yeah, Rookie of the Year. He set the scoring record for, I think, his first playoff series or first game. When I think that he broke Kareem's record in that Celtics.
Yeah, he did.
312-332-3776.
Greg's in LaGrange, Sylvie. He wants a nice little village there, Greg. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, Miller? Actually, you know, I think our kids go to the same school.
There you go.
But,
I did not know that.
Anyway, it's Sylvie.
Sounds like you're stalking me, Greg.
No.
I'm kidding.
The same school as
I was kidding.
That did sound a little creepy. You're right. Hey, wanted to talk about going back a bit to Cam Newton. You know, you guys, everyone knows about his athletic abilities, and you can certainly see, you know, rewinds of the tape, see some amazing things he did. But did everybody forget about Super Bowl 50, where it was like 4 minutes left and 6 points down? There was a fumble that came out of his hand, and he was the one guy that didn't die for the ball. I mean, like, doesn't that kind of speak to his character? Like, that's the guy you're getting. You know, you're getting the guy with the surly interviews at halftime, the guy who might not be a leader in the locker room.
I don't know. Look, there are faults, again, and I pointed out the injury faults, and I know the play that you're referring to. I also remember Lance Briggs not going for the football in that game against the Green Bay Packers at the end of the year when the Bears could have won the division. And under Lovie, they all went for the football,
yeah.
And they watched that football, and no Bear picked up that football. Guys make mistakes. I still think very highly of Lance Briggs in his career here. I also think that there are flaws with the other two guys that the Bears have. I think giving up a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles is interesting. I think if you look at Foles' career, where is the longevity whenever he goes to a team? He does come off the bench, and he does win with the Eagles, but there are still question marks about his long career, and we all know of the question marks in Trubisky's career.
Yeah, like Cam Newton, look, he certainly has blemishes on his career, but at the same time, like, he's still, in my opinion, a better option than Mitch Trubisky if he's anywhere near the player that he was. If you can get him back to, you know, 80% of what he once was, he's a better option as a guy who can fight for that starting job. We got lots more calls, Sylvie, to get to as well, so I know we're up against it here.
All right, so whether you want to talk about the Cam Newton situation, did it bother you that, oh, now the Patriots get him, and the Bears had all offseason? Oh, if you're going to sign so many tight ends and so many kickers, why can't you sign a third quarterback, or why didn't you cut bait with Mitch, or why didn't you decide on Cam before Nick Foles to begin with? 332-3776, and also the redo question in the wake of the decision 10-year anniversary with the show that was on ESPN and the Windhorse stuff. We haven't given you some of the details. I did in shortness, but if you want to weigh in on which Chicago sports happening would you like a redo on, we'll take all of your phone calls, plus Wild's World at 3:30, and don't forget, we got Lucas Giolito at 4.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Got some interesting topics, whether it's about the Cam Newton signing in New England, or we're talking about the decision a little bit with the show and a sports redo you would like in Chicago sports. I give you 4 to vote on the Toyota Twitter poll. You can find it on my Twitter handle at Waddle and Sylvie. We didn't even get to, and we will, it's right after Lucas Giolito at 4, we'll play you some of Buster Olney, who now all of a sudden got pretty pessimistic.
Yeah.
about baseball, which has me worried and reading all the numbers about COVID from the weekend.
Not great. Not
some
great.
Some of the southern states. Yeah, I know. I mean, wear a mask. It could get into that.
Waddle has a PSA for people who don't want to wear masks later.
What did he say on Friday?
Thursday. He had himself. I've got it up, doll. You don't even have to chase for it. But, like, we could do that whenever you want.
Sure, okay.
But it's, yeah, Waddle had an interesting take. And I think it's a good PSA for all the people out there who if you want sports.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We'll get into that. 332-3776. Mallory, we've got more callers, don't we?
We do. Albert is in St. Petersburg. What's up, Albert?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, Albert.
Good. So I just want to preface this with saying that I don't necessarily think that Nick Foles, or definitely not Trubisky, is better than Cam Newton. But I think it needs to be said that the Bears weren't the only team around that wasn't really eager to sign Cam Newton. And I think there is this kind of bias, if you will, on the part of many people to look at the things that the Patriots do and say, well, if the Patriots are doing it, it must be the right move. You know, I know the money is sort of a separate issue here, but I kind of think that we sort of overreact to whatever it is that the Patriots do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Waddle has coined that phrase, if it's good enough for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And they certainly haven't drafted the best, and, you know, they've had the equalizer of Tom Brady. We'll see now if Belichick can do that magic with Cam. And again, I am not – my take, someone accused me, Meller, of saying that I wanted Cam now after the fact. And – again, like we've been talking about this since
yes.
January,
mm-hmm.
and at the Super Bowl, he came up with one of the great Kansas City Chiefs.
I'll vouch for the fact that you were talking about Cam Newton. Yeah, like you said, right around Super Bowl week, when you know you ran into some people who thought that might be a done deal. You've been touting the idea of Cam Newton, and you know I know that both Waddle and I were a little more reluctant, not knowing what his injury history was. But you were someone who was very vocal about saying that there's no reason why Cam Newton shouldn't be somebody the Bears should be pursuing, considering, again, what they gave up for to get Nick Foles.
Like, that's all I'm saying.
Our last caller, the buy low mentality.
Yes.
Our last call. You can't separate the two. You can't say, I understand the salaries, you know, maybe it's a low cost, but that on a separate issue. No, that is the whole point. You have a potential, you know, a former league MVP who, granted, was hurt, but is there for a rock bottom cost, a rock bottom price at this point.
And then that way, when if he does fail, it was still worth the risk.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying go overpay for him like the Bulls did for some other players who were past their prime. This isn't like Dwayne Wade or something like that. I am saying, hey, you have tried so hard to fix your kicker position that you brought in so many kickers, and we still don't even know if it's fixed. You brought in so many tight ends. You overpaid for Jimmy Graham, and you drafted with your first pick a tight end. So if you can do multiple solutions for those positions, why, if buying low for a former MVP, couldn't you do it at quarterback?
And the reason the Patriots always get, you know, get a lot of credit for what they do is because they do exactly that. When they do make mistakes, or not, they're not even mistakes. When they bring in Chad Ochocinco at the time and he doesn't work out,
Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah. You know what? They bring these guys in at league minimums, and if they work out, great, you know, but if they don't, so be it. They move on from them and nobody has to criticize them because they don't invest, you know, their, you know, multiple millions of dollars into guys who they're
Antonio
unsure of.
Antonio Brown is another example.
Yeah. They just move on quickly.
We'll never know what Nick Foles' true value was because the Bears didn't give an opportunity for it to shake out. You know, like you could have easily said, hey, Nick wants to sign with us. What are the odds? You know, like you could have figured it out, right? You could have gone to any of the quarterbacks and said, hey, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want for this guy? What do you want for this guy? But instead they're like, I need Nick Foles right now. I need him right now, no matter what. And you gave up too much.
This is again, like, sorry to interrupt, Meller.
No, go ahead.
This is again, just like the Mahomes conversation, where if Foles does work out, this is a hindsight business. So if Foles does work out, Abdal, what you just said then would be wrong. They didn't give up too much for him, and then they would be, because there's no guarantee you get Foles.
Well,
I'm just saying that that we always do wait in hindsight to see how it's turned out.
Define working out, though.
Well, look, if Nick Foles takes them to the playoffs, wins the job, starts more games than he ever has, and has a good season under coaches that he knows well, we'll say that was a good job by Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. You guys wanted the guy you wanted. You jumped on him. And even though a lot of us wanted Andy Dalton or Cam Newton, bravo to you. That's how credit works in this business. So it's not like we wouldn't give the Bears credit in the future. I'm just saying I would bring in Cam to the equation.
Tom is in Woodridge. Hey, Tom, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, let's say that you guys are the best in Chicago. You guys are to the point and very honest and not a lot of, I guess for use of a term, BS that runs around sometimes. But my point is...
Thank you, by the way.
Thank you. I've coached football for 41 years in high school and at the lower levels, and we always began with the offensive line. And if you don't have offensive linemen that are good, you're going to be in trouble. You can have all the guys running around with the balls and throwing and quarterbacks and everything, and I think that's where Ryan Pace has really missed it. I mean, you can find maybe not Jerry Rice in every draft, but you can find those kind of kids and those kind of guys that are at some of the smaller schools. But you got to find the proven ones that are the big guys up front that win and lose. And I think that's where the Bears have missed the boat.
It's a great point. And it's another position where we say, look, you've tried so hard at these other positions. Why is your solution at offensive line, Ifedi at guard, who was a tackle with Seattle, and why do you still believe in Leno and Massey, who will go into camp having jobs? So I think it's a great point as well.
The reason it probably is because Ryan Pace has to, because he has so many other holes he has to address each and every offseason, that one of the things that actually has worked in the past, the discount offensive line, he doesn't have a whole lot of flexibility when he's got to fill the tight end position and the backup quarterback position or starting quarterback position. He doesn't leave himself a whole lot of options to fix the offensive
line.
With
limited draft picks
exactly.
As well, because he's always trading up.
Harding is in Orland Park. Hey, Harding.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think you guys are hitting on my point of soreness here. It's not so much the players, it's the behaviors of the GM. So even if you look at Bill Belichick, the idea that he has situational awareness, he understands that if he signs Cam Newton and that doesn't work out, well, guess what? I'm in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. So regardless of the situation, I'm pretty much in a win-win no matter the outcome. The same thing with Brian Payson, him paying Mike Glennon, him trading up to get Trubisky, him trading to get Nick Foles. Like, the situational awareness is next to none. And it's kind of depressing because you want to have somebody in a position to improve your team and have the feeling that he knows what he's doing. And we try to give him credit on the defensive side, and cool, I understand that, but there's a lot of points of soreness there when you look at Floyd and then you look at the wide receiver position. You know, we can go down that list. But unfortunately, we're never going to get to the point where we're happy with the individuals in power making decisions for our team. And I'll say this to say, replace the Moises Alou one with the Bears passing on Joe Montana. Did they not pass on Joe Montana
in the third round?
Yeah, so and, like, you let's know, do that one.
Yeah, no, Harding gets a good point. And for those who don't know, when Montana wasn't hyped as a first-round pick coming out of ND, Jim Finks, who is probably the best decision maker in Bears history and set up that Bears team in the mid-80s, totally whiffed on I think Waddle brought it up last week. Didn't someone just do a story on this?
Yeah.
Where Jim Finks didn't want to screw up the makeup of the quarterback room.
Was it Dan Pompey in The Athletic?
Possibly, yeah. And Jim Finks is one of the best. Yeah, I believe he's in Canton. And he screwed that up big time. So, yeah, it's a good one you bring up, Harding.
Tom is in Orland Park. He wants to weigh in on the Cam Newton or the lack of Cam Newton here in Chicago. Hey, Tom.
Hey, great show once again. Sylvie Strong.
Thank you.
Finally, I've heard some people talking about with this inability for the Bears to get this offensive line right. You know, look at what Trubisky's gone through in his years here. I don't understand how everybody's ready to write him off. He hasn't had a decent offensive line. He had one year where they got, I think a couple went to the Pro Bowl post season or whatever as fill-ins. But I mean, this awesome offensive line is inept. And he played a lot behind Long, who was really at the end of his career. And he's had no tight end. you've had maybe one good receiver and maybe another receiver that would be decent, and yet everybody says he's not able to read off read defenses. He's not able to use his options. What were his options? I mean,
I think what Waddle would say to you right now. Let me play the role of Waddle. Waddle would say both can be true. That Trubisky hasn't had the line, but when he has had time, whether it's missing a wide-open Allen Robinson deep, whether it's missing Anthony Miller on the sideline when he was, you know, hitting that throw all practice, whether it was in, even though they had a lack of tight end, one of his tight ends was open in the end zone waving at him, and he chose to throw it the other way and not make that split decision right. There have been plenty of times when he has had time, and yet he still shows us that something's probably missing here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think Trubisky has failed to live up to the billing, and it doesn't help him that we're all looking at Deshaun Watson and we're listening or watching the, you know, Patrick Mahomes thrive and tell people he just has started to learn how to read defenses and still is capable of winning the league MVP. That doesn't help the situation.
All right. Good calls today, too. We'll keep that hopping at 312-332-3776. Lucas Giolito in the shortened season is going to join us at 4. That should be some great radio. And coming up next, we'll have some fun inside Waddle's World.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports. How many aerobics in here? So many activities.
Let's find out together.
You can step class. Making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Da, 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 da. It is indeed Waddle's World, and we're just living in it. As always, Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC.
So Meller's in the First Midwest Bank studio, quote, co-hosting, though he's always here, and co-hosting, if you will. Abdallah's here, and so is Sean today. So if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776.
And we've got lots of sports stuff, tidbits to get after here inside of Waddle's World. Of course, the nonsense as well. But first, let's get to the real news. Imani Bates, who is the top recruit for basketball in 2022, has committed to Michigan State, Sylvie. He's a rising junior from Michigan. Bates, a five-star recruit and considered the number one prospect in the nation regardless of class. Despite being the first sophomore to be named the Gatorade National Player of the Year, Bates was not heavily recruited, as many assumed he would just bypass college and go straight to the NBA. But he has committed to Michigan State.
Does that still mean, can you go straight to the NBA still? You can always still go to the NBA,
correct,
right?
He can certainly change his mind if he chooses to do so. And obviously, he's a junior, so he still has his senior year left,
right,
assuming he doesn't graduate early.
And then
so,
if the rules change, right.
Yeah,
we'll
so
see.
We'll keep an eye on that. The Grizzlies' Ja Morant has apologized for anti-police social media posts. He apologized on Twitter for reposting an image on social media with a profanity directed at police officers on the back of his jersey, writing that, quote, it didn't clearly and accurately convey what I wanted to share. In his since-deleted social media post, Morant posted an image of his number 12 jersey edited with a nameplate that said blank instead of Morant. The phrase blank 12 has been used as an anti-police slogan.
What do you guys think about the NBA? The talk has been that they're possibly going to let the players, instead of putting their own name on, like
yes,
John Morant was saying, to put some sort of a message on the back of their jersey.
Yes, in particularly regarding social justice. And if you're a fan of the English Premier League, last weekend, all the teams actually, instead of names, actually put Black Lives Matters, Black Lives Matter, on their jerseys, and that was in England.
Okay.
So I could certainly, you know, see the NBA kind of following suit if they're doing that in England when it's become such a huge issue here in the United States. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they choose to go forward with that.
Abdallah, you're in favor of that too, aren't you? I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's good. I've said it for the past few weeks, you know, ever since we were sitting in here, Chris Black and I were sitting in on a Friday night and ESPN was showing Air Bud, and then they showed Free Solo, the story of Hope Solo's quest for her justice.
Her rise and then fall.
It was like Prison Break, but with Hope Solo. And then on this Friday night, they were showing Angels in the Outfield. And if the NBA was on, you would have games on. And, you know, players were worried about getting their message out. You can get your message out. This is another way to do it. Put something on the back of your jersey. But instead of having, you know, the NBA not on and we're watching Angels in the Outfield, you could have the NBA games on and everybody would be watching them while getting your message out at the same time.
Yeah. MLB Network's running bad movies, too, I think.
Yes.
Well, I didn't say Angels in the Outfield was a bad movie. I just said it was on.
This is not on the syllabus here, but Sylvie, did you look over the NBA schedule as it was released on Friday night?
A little bit, but then like the one thing that I noticed, and I know the Clippers and Lakers are opening things, and the thing that I loved the most that I mentioned to my wife when I looked at it is I believe basketball starts basically every day at 2:30 Eastern, is that? I don't know if the times were for us local when I looked at it.
Yeah, I was looking at one that said Eastern. I know the first game that starts is 5:30, but that's the first day.
Then
Pelicans, Jazz, and then, Clippers, Lakers. That's the first day, but you're right. Then they have, like,
Four games a day, don't they?
Some days they're going to have, I think, as many as six.
Right.
But most days they're going to have four. Yeah, and they're going to all throughout the day.
We could talk about games going on. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Games going on.
Yes. Like, if this happens... And I'm still very fearful reading. Like now, I go back and forth. I talk to one person, then I'm optimistic, and then I talk to another person or read some data about this, and then I'm pessimistic. And then, I just don't want to get so excited. And then here in a week or two, they say, no, we can't do it. We can't do the bubble. We can't do MLB. And then if we're in, like if we're canceling seasons, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
But if we do have this where we could gamble on games going on, where it's basically the NCAA tournament for the NBA, where we have day games going on during the week every day, how great would that be?
Oh, it'll be a smorgasbord of sports, and it'll be hard to watch so many games going on at the same time, Sylvie, like somebody has mentioned on this show in previous months.
Yeah.
But that would be our burden to bear, no doubt about it. All right. The Raptors' Fred VanVleet says that the timing of the restart, quote, sucks. He said it was difficult to decide whether to take part in the NBA restart amid the coronavirus pandemic and protests for social justice. Quote, it sucks. It's terrible timing, but that's been 2020 for us.
Yeah.
We all know the right thing to do is to not play, to take a stand. Morally, yes, that makes sense. But life goes on. That is Fred VanVleet of the Toronto Raptors.
Wilbon and Barkley totally disagree, and they say that use your platform.
Yep.
This is the perfect, like Abdallah was just saying.
The Lakers are finalizing a deal with J.R. Smith. So they could bring him back.
More crazy with LeBron. Do you think he'll play, though? Because they're pretty deep at the guard position.
I mean, I think it's hard to know what anybody's depth is going to be. I would bet... You know, like you just said, assuming things, you know, go forward and you're playing, I think everyone's depth is going to be tested at some point, whether it's injuries or, you know, players here and there having coronavirus. I think that's going to happen.
The last time LeBron and J.R. Smith played with each other was when he motioned him, what are you doing, right? When he went to the other basket.
That's
right.
Didn't
he go to the other basket? Isn't that the moment?
Yes. He had the infamous LeBron gif of him just staring there, making a face and having his hands out. Like, what is going on? Yes, that was the classic J.R. Smith moment. That's what you get with J.R. Smith. You get a guy who can go off one moment and then the next moment go in the wrong direction.
You get a 25-foot-3 or go off the deep end.
The Nationals' Ryan Zimmerman, Joe Ross, and the Diamondbacks' Mike Leake have all opted out of baseball's restart.
Give me that list again.
So it's Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross of the Washington Nationals,
interesting,
the defending
Ryan
champion Nationals, and the Diamondbacks' Mike Leake, who is a starter in the rotation.
Right.
In a statement, Nats GM Mike Rizzo said the team fully supports their players' decision. Zimmerman, is in his own statement, said he has three young children, including a newborn, and that his mother is at high risk for the virus. Leake became the first known player to opt out of the season doing so earlier in the day of the two national players. So, we also have word from John Heyman recently that, pulling it up here in a second.
Well, it's about the Cubs,
yes,
and Anthony Rizzo.
There was, so, this is from Heyman. Anthony Rizzo is planning to play at this point. Rizzo presumably would fall into the high-risk category as a cancer survivor and could opt out with pay should he change his mind, but no Cubs known yet to be opting out. And as we speak, Jed Hoyer is speaking with the media, Sylvie. He says that the Cubs do not expect any of their players to opt out. So that's
good
news for Cubs.
They also haven't tested all their players yet, he said. They're planning on testing tomorrow and Wednesday because most players are en route to Chicago.
Right.
But they should have been like Ian Happ and come in like 2 weeks ago.
What they know about it, though, Jesse tweeted that Jed Hoyer said the two staff members of the Cubs tested positive, but no players so far. But well, like you guys said, they haven't been tested by the Cubs yet, and I don't know how many of those guys have been tested.
Yeah, Jose Quintana's not there yet.
Should I share that next?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We could share that next. Is there any more sports?
Yeah, let me do one more sports story, then Sylvie can share with us the concern over Q for Cubs fans. Netflix is going to produce a 6-part series based on Colin Kaepernick's life. The scripted drama will be produced by acclaimed director Ava DuVernay, Netflix announced on Monday. The series Colin in Black and White will feature Kaepernick as the narrator and explore the quarterback's high school years, attempting to show the experiences and insights that led to his activism. An actor will play him as a youth in the show about a black child adopted by a white family.
So this is him participating. That's a good thing. It's being acted, but it's still him participating as the narrator.
Correct.
And so the stories are totally true. You know, like when they did the OJ thing, I mean, do we know if all the stories were true, right? When they did all the actors.
Oh, the FX series?
Yeah, that
I did not watch the FX series.
I like a good documentary when it's true. I don't know how much I love, you know, there are more movies like that, of course, but I like that he's participating. That's the point of what I'm
saying. And it was Ava DuVernay. Did I say that correctly, guys? All right, I said it incorrectly
I'll take your word for it.
So, all right, so why should Cubs fans be concerned about Jose Quintana? Well, Sylvie will tell us next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Cubs fans, should you be concerned more than you already are about Jose Quintana? Sylvie,
yes.
What's the latest on Jose Quintana?
So Abdallah texts me during the busy Sunday yesterday while we were trying to fish, and we caught two minnows with a net. That was
You're fishing with a net?
Well, I mean, we got to scoop up the fish that we get on the fishing pole, don't we? I mean, that's the hope. Isn't that how you do it?
I guess. I'm not a fisherman, so I'll...
neither am I, clearly.
I thought you pull it out with the pole, usually. I thought that was the plan, but...
I think it helps if there's a net, and I don't know. We had a net. So when we didn't catch any fish, we started, like, using the net. My son got two minnows, and then we threw them back, of course. But anyway, so Abdallah texts me, and it's a picture of Tom Brady with Quintana, with Q. Now, they must live in the same neighborhood of Tampa, right?
Tampa.
Or maybe Quintana lives near the park where Brady is practicing football and won't stop practicing football.
Hosting full 11-on-11 drills out there with like all equipment and everything, right?
Yes.
As Tom Brady just completely eschews whatever the NFLPA has recommended.
The union is not happy. DeMora Smith, we're going to play that later. But anyway, it looked like Tom Brady on like a motor scooter. And then there was Q taking a picture with him and posting it on IG with the GOAT. Here's my worry. When are they reporting? Like tomorrow or something? Aren't they reporting on July 1st? When is that? It's coming up here.
Yeah, I know the White Sox were going to be working out on July 3rd. So, yeah, I don't know the exact date, but soon.
How long does it take after exposure to test positive?
Well, to test, it could be 14 days until the virus, where you're carrying. And so, yes, it's a good question, Sylvie. That is concerning.
So here's my concern, that Tom Brady infects the entire Cubs team through Quintana, and then we're gonna hate not only Brady but Quintana even more because of the Eloy trade.
And then
like Brady's out there practicing with all of his guys in the hotbed of Florida, and they didn't have masks on. They were right next to each other.
Yeah, not 6 feet. Certainly not 6 feet in that picture.
And now, what if he tests negative when he first gets here? But then. The incubate. I don't know how this works. So then what happens? Could Tom Brady infect the entire Cubs roster?
That would be a bad thing. We should mark this date down because even though, you know, you're not kidding at all. That is, I mean.
Well, so half kidding.
Half kidding, but like also half concerned. That is a legit, that's not ideal. People hanging around Tom Brady who's hosting these individual workouts. I legit would be concerned as a Cubs fan right now about that.
Especially with anyone living in Florida coming here.
Exactly.
Now.
No, it's a good point. All right, so Sylvie, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. You're a big avid, well, you were fishing, so you probably missed this. golf yesterday. Ian Poulter, did you happen to see what happened as Greg Chalmers stepped for his opening tee shot?
No, what happened with Ian Poulter?
Well, I'll let you hear the audio, and you can hear it for yourself. So this is Greg Chalmers.
Oh, I think I know this. Yeah.
On his opening tee shot yesterday with Ian Poulter alongside him.
You get that? That's supposed to be more silent than that.
So Ian Poulter said, did you get that? Because Greg Chalmers was mic'd up. Poulter was not, but Ian Poulter... After Greg Chalmers tees off his opening tee shot. It was indeed what you think it is.
I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. If there's like a televised fart, it's funny. I'm sorry, it's still great.
Yes, it definitely gave us a new sound drop that we've added to the sound page.
Hey, how about a perfect timing, too? First tee shot of the day.
Exactly.
Control. That is flatulence control
in
right
his
there.
Backswing.
Poulter said it was supposed to be more silent than that, to which Chalmers responded, stay over there.
That is the Baba Booey without crowds. That's what should be the new thing. That the golfers, with no one yelling, Baba Booey! They should just rip one right after every tee shot.
Ian Poulter.
Do you remember when?
I'm surprised we haven't heard more of those. We've been hearing, we've heard a few F-words and stuff like that.
Yeah, the new mics now and that close personal touch.
Remember when we had, didn't we have like an NFL?
Ditka.
One of the NFL
it was wasn't it Coach Ditka? Yes. And it was the NFL countdown set, right?
Yeah. Google that because it still makes me laugh.
There's a button on here on the sound page that's labeled possible Ditka fart.
Oh, can you play that?
Oh, I got to find I know it's in here. Hold on a second. All right.
Well, I'll give you the Ian Poulter actual fart while he looks for it.
Chris Carver was laughing. And then there was a.
You gotta love it, Coach.
I remember that years ago.
Well, remember,
I'm sorry, it's juvenile. I still love it.
It spawned the Ditka holiday parody song about the jingle. Was it Jingle Fart or something along those lines?
Something like that.
Well, while Abdal looks for that, let me give you one story. That was Dick. That was the possible Ditka fart.
You've got to play the whole thing, though, because of the timing and the way they all start.
Yeah, you need
laughing.
Chris Carter, the full laugh. There might be a 10-second one
there's
in there.
Gotta,
they're going to stay on the field on third down. They're going to make some third down conversion.
I'm not like Susie. I was from Philly, but they got rid of me, so I'm going with the Giants.
Well, let's see. If the Giants win, they're in first. If the Eagles win, they're in first. Giants 27, the Eagles 24.
The Giants. The Giants. The Giants.
I know. We're kids.
Dueling farts.
My son and I bonded yesterday. He was climbing up the jungle gym yesterday in our backyard. And sure enough, he was exerting energy and he farted.
Right in your face?
I wasn't right up to him. But we had a good laugh, a good father-son laugh.
The Giants.
Male bonding. You got to love it. We have Lucas Giolito coming up here shortly, but quickly, let me give you this story before we wrap things up. A topless UK woman helps save family from drowning, report says. A 28-year-old British woman saved two sisters and a cousin from drowning in the water off a naturist beach in Cornwall while topless, according to a report.
That's fantastic.
Jessica Layton, an actor and singer, told Cornwall Live, "I was topless in the sea when I saw two young women struggling to swim near rocks. Another member of the family ran in to help them, and she started struggling too. I swam towards them and thought, oh, crap, as I realized, oh, wait, oh, crap. Perfect sound drop. As I realized how strong the rip current was," she continued, "I was struggling
the
myself, and they were panicking, which wasn't ideal in a situation like that. I was going to tell them to float, which was the best thing you can do in a rip current, but they were panicking so much it wouldn't have worked. So they were all holding hands, so I grabbed one of their hands and pulled them off the beach while topless." How
That's
about
awesome.
That?
That National is fantastic. Hero. Look, I mean, what are you going to do, run for a shirt? No. You go help people, and that's what she did.
Topless or not, exactly. All right, we've got the White Sox ace, Lucas Giolito,
Are
on deck, Sylvie.
Are we skipping Florida or Ohio today?
Oh, I took too much time. That's on me.
Can we do that later? Farts.
Too many farts.
My bad. We foregoed, forewent Florida or Ohio.
Whatever.
For the fart.
That's not a word.
It's not.
All right, so here's what I want to know. Lucas Giolito with an ace like him, how will strategy change in a shortened season? Will he go deeper into games than he normally was? He goes pretty deep into games anyway. But we'll find out the difference in a sprint. Lucas Giolito joins us in 2 short minutes.